Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
We have Tabitha.
Hello.
The one and only Tabitha with us on the Faith and Hustle podcast. And we're just going to kind of go with it. So I brought a friend.
Give her some background.
I brought a friend to Mexico, my friend Brian Hollingsworth. My other friend, Garrett Baker, couldn't make it.
Yeah, he bailed on us, and we're gonna pay him back in
an episode
a little later on today.
He's scared of the storm. He might have been scared of the storm.
You know, Garrett lives life full of fear. He's scared of everything. He's like a tiny little child. Tammy runs his life.
Could have been what happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, we found ourselves on our potentially third videoed podcast. Real time. So we're starting to get some video out there. So you can
Absolutely.
Watch this now if you want to see us sit around and talk.
Yeah, we're sitting in a tattoo shop in Isla Mujeres with our second female entrepreneur in a row
This is kind of a great theme because we're on the island of women and we're interviewing
Absolutely.
Two different women.
Oh, is that Isla Mujeres? That means
that's
woman?
That means.
The Isle of Women.
Really?
So it's a great theme. We're down here interviewing women about entrepreneurship.
The statues are down at the South Point, where you can go worship.
The ones you couldn't stop looking at.
Oh, if I wanted to worship the women?
Yeah, the one you couldn't
stop
looking
at. I've been doing that without statues for a long time, since I was probably about 15, I'm guessing.
So we're dressed accordingly. So we're on island time. We didn't have water this morning.
A lot of sun.
Lost power in the night. A lot of sunburn. End of the trip. And you know, what better way than talk about you? And all the things that got you here. So how did you end up on an island with some friends? Some that you've known for a while and some that you've just met?
Well, she was born a poor black child in Oak Grove.
Isn't that Steve Martin? To share proper parents. I came to Isla Mujeres for the first time in 2005. I had a corporation with my ex-husband, now deceased. I didn't kill him. It wasn't me. Just sometimes I feel like I need to go ahead and throw that out there.
You want to proclaim your innocence?
I'd like that disclaimer in there.
On national
Your Honor,
podcast.
On a national podcast. Don't look at me. And loved it. Loved the island. Had just incorporated for the first time since the divorce. And loved the island, loved the lifestyle. Loved owning my own business and making my own hours, being able to pop open the laptop and do the work I needed, and pull in contracts, and still make some money while I was away. And that sold me.
So you're an entrepreneur.
Now I couldn't work for anybody because they would fire me.
You're unemployable, just like,
I am
like the rest of us.
Oh
like
my gosh. My wife tells me I'm unemployable all the time. I feel like I'm employable, but she's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm definitely unemployable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the way I do it. I don't always think I'm right. I try to be open to new ideas, and I don't think you have to do it my way, just that the work needs to get done.
So what do you do?
Low voltage. And when you say that, most people kind of look at you a little bit cross-eyed. Low voltage.
I've been accused of being a little low voltage at times.
Low voltage.
Yeah.
It was low wattage.
Yeah,
I
low
think
wattage.
It was low wattage.
Not low voltage.
Not voltage.
Okay.
It was low wattage.
All right.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Your low voltage wires are, it's not electrical, so it's going to be your data wires, like your point of sale wires. You've probably seen the memes go around that talk about the cashiers with their electronic where you scan your own groceries.
Oh, yeah.
People will be like, oh, that put somebody out of a job. Well, it gave me and my teams a job, okay, because we install that kind of stuff and we service it and work on it. So really, we will run right over there and get in that line all the time.
So it just shifted the jobs around.
Shifted the jobs around.
And there's still
around.
A couple people standing around watching to make sure you don't
They're
steal something.
They're still watching, yeah. A little quality control going on there. Overhead paging, fiber optics, security cameras.
Oh, cool deal.
All
cool
that
deal.
Is low voltage.
So y'all run all the lines, do all the networking, that kind of thing.
We run lines and do networking, and we do project work and service work. Project work typically installs, and then the service work, the work that is afterwards when the camera needs service. Some kids wax the sporting goods camera with a fishing pole.
So it's commercial, light commercial.
We do commercial only.
Warehouse type box stores.
We do commercial only. And let me tell you guys how cool it is to be driving a Genie or be driving a Lyft through a Walmart, and especially little girls point and smile big and look. So I always wave at them. Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm in a parade. I need some beads to throw.
That's cool.
That is
cool. It is pretty cool because I think they don't expect to see things like that.
And so you get to work odd hours.
I get to work odd hours, odd places. Last year we took a month's worth of projects in Idaho.
Oh, wow. And so right now you live in the New Orleans area.
I'm in the New Orleans area.
So just for fun, when the time of this recording, we're dodging a hurricane. And so we're on the west side of the state, and we are praying that this thing pushes east so that we can leave home and still make the trip. What if it pushes east? It lands at your house.
Yeah.
So we don't want it to go too far east. So we're really hating on Lafayette right now.
I'm getting a lot of phone calls and texts that are making me feel guilty. How are you? Wonderful. I mean, I'm okay.
I mean, yesterday I was spear fishing.
Right? I swam with a whale shark.
Yeah,
it's not a bad day.
It wasn't a bad day.
We harvested our lunch in the most primal way possible. I mean, we just grabbed a spear cone, jumped in the water, and made ceviche out of the fish that we selected for lunch.
Caught.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
Yeah, is this where we give a shout out to Enrique's
as
unique
many
dives?
As we can
here
get.
We go,
yeah,
right here.
Love me some Kike.
Yeah, Kike's, Enrique's, and Unique Dives. They do a fantastic job. We went out. We've been diving with them. We've been spearfishing with them. We've saw whale sharks with them.
Fishing.
We shout out to Sexy Rexy, one of the best
first mates
ever. Sexy Rexy, second to none, great fisherman. Got me hooked up with a barracuda. So, and we fished the reefs and. We met some new people and just enjoyed our day and made great ceviche, made great sandwiches for lunch. Just so hospitable, right? I mean, just could not have had a better time.
And I think he was born here, right?
He
so
is.
He's a native.
Just generational
native. There's everything. If it's about this island, he knows it.
Right.
That's awesome.
And we just wrapped up a podcast with Saria, who owns Inkaholic Tattoo, which is where we are right now. And she's also was born here. Mom and Dad, they're not listening. They'll never see this, so it's okay.
Is there a block button for a podcast that I don't know about?
You're a strong, independent woman.
I'm a woman. I'm 40.
That's the number. Yeah. I'll go with that number.
That's a good number.
That's a good number. Listen to the podcast. Please be sure to tune in to find out what tattoo they have chosen for me.
We're going to put it on Facebook and let the Facebook.
No, we are not.
We aren't.
That's a great idea.
We'll let you share it.
No, Tabitha, tell us about your background. Tell us how you got into entrepreneurship. Like, talk to us. Give us your background on that.
Well, Mom was probably still is licensed, a registered nurse, and she was a charge nurse for about 20 years. So we call her the general.
I love registered
and
nurses.
Even before she was a registered nurse, she was still the general. Like, she can issue orders and line people out, get the whole all the troops
she
working together. She was La Jefa. Dad, pretty much career military, but my grandparents were both. One owned a Western Auto franchise.
Okay.
On one side, and on the other side, my mom's dad was a sawyer, but he also sharpened lawnmower blades and made hose, and then they had a little fast food stand in town. So if there was a dollar to be made, Papa was out hustling it.
So
it's
you
just
come
what
from
I know.
A family of entrepreneurs then.
Yeah.
That's
none
crazy.
Of us can be told what to do.
A family of hardheads.
We're a family of hardheads but hard workers.
I mean, that seems to be a theme with entrepreneurship is we're a little bit rebellious. We're a little bit... not rule followers, so to speak. We got to kind of make our own way. We like maybe freedom seems to be a common theme. We want our freedom.
Is that what drew you to it, or what? Or talk to us about employee versus. Where
talk
you
to
are
us
now.
About employee yeah. versus where I am now. So I went to college at 16. So I am very smart, but I can hide it very well. So that's why y'all probably didn't know that I was smart. I hadn't it.
I'm shocked.
For one, you're just gobsmacked, right? So I went to college at 16 and I double majored in public relations journalism and in English lit. I chose those two degrees because they did not have math and sciences.
Okay,
fair enough.
Yeah. Then I went to work for an ad agency right out of college and it was cool. We did McDonald's advertising. I drove a car that was about to blow up and the people that I worked for had all 7th series matching BMWs. And I aspired to that and could barely afford a Happy Meal. It just wasn't working for me.
Man, no. BMWs are nice.
They
are
pretty,
great.
Aren't they?
Oh, they're pretty.
And yeah. They all had matching ones.
I've heard that argument. You know, you should buy a truck with a $1,200 a month car payment because it'll make you work harder.
I mean, yeah.
It's a horrible argument.
Yeah.
You know, drive the paid-for 20-year-old car and go just work harder and save some money, for crying out loud. But no. Also, I've been there. I get it. It forces you into some...
There was things I wanted that I wasn't going to be able to achieve as an employee. Okay. That's my bottom. That was what that was to me every day when I pulled in that parking lot. They were on a trip to Alaska 2 weeks, and I had to work every day and could maybe go to Florida for the weekend.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So the way my parents raised me was, if you want something, you can do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? It's the American dream, right?
You just have to go get it. Yeah, but I don't think everybody is raised. I don't think that's put into everybody.
Agreed.
And I really grew up believing that if I could figure out a way, legally, godly, putting out there what needs to be put out there, knowing that stuff, what you sow, you're going to reap. I think that I can accomplish anything. And so that just started it. I left the ad agency, took a job actually selling communication systems, picked it up really fast, and then started on my own business and moved down to New Orleans. And that was really it. We got the opportunity. It was CTI at the time, myself and my ex-husband. We got the opportunity to remodel office depots, and I want to say there were 12 in the South region. So we just went down there, got an apartment, started working the jobs. I don't know how many years later I bailed, and it became ICTI.
So it was your first entrepreneurial, like, or venture in entrepreneurship was you and your spouse together, right? Mm-hmm. So y'all opened up a networking company and did this together. Okay, so I'm trying to picture that in your mind. I bet you there's a set of obstacles. I don't know that we've interviewed anybody who's opened up a business with their significant other. I know, I tell my wife's like, hey, I'll help you with this, baby. I'm like, no, I love you so much. I don't want you to help me.
We had two entirely different sets of strengths. He was not outgoing, not vocal.
Okay.
He worked on computers.
Okay.
And he liked to stay in the office.
So y'all complimented
him. We complimented each other, yeah. And I can't believe that came out of my mouth. But yeah, we did. We complimented each other.
Thank Jesus.
The Lord is moving.
We got the Holy Ghost right here.
He's not here, but he calls these therapy sessions. And it's fun because, you know, I'm just going to let you know right now, everybody we interview overshares.
Really? Yeah. I'm dialing it back. But
we're just listening. You just keep talking.
Just keep talking. So it worked. It was okay. Mm-hmm. I did mostly the customer service aspect of it, the sales aspect of it. And then I managed a lot of the service. And then when I left, this is fun. This isn't oversharing. The company was CTI, right? Block letters. And so when I left him, we reincorporated. Mom and Dad and I reincorporated and put a baby eye on the C because I didn't want my customers to feel the transition because they just went with me. But that little eye was the new portion of integrated,
which was, you, right?
Which was me, mine and mine alone. And rebirthed that as ICTI, and that's what it is still.
Ah, nice.
And then we grew the I over the years in the logo, moved it off the C. So now if you see it, it's ICTI big. But that's when I first did it. I didn't want them to feel any pain. I didn't want them to know there was drama going on in my life. So it was just a tiny C.
So it was a struggle, no doubt. I mean, understatement.
I worked all the time. That was easy to do, and we won't have a therapy session, but...
Right.
You know, work solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, it does.
I think work is a therapy at times. You know, I mean, when we have devastation in our lives, you know, or trauma in our lives, you know, be it mine was the loss of my dad. You know, we talked about that a little bit 8 or 9 years ago, just devastation, best man at my wedding, my dude, you know, close to me, and then just the darkness that happens afterwards. And yet, we also, I think... The best thing for me was throwing myself into my work, you know, and growing my business and really throwing myself into God, too. I kind of had to reassess that. Sometimes it comes quick and sometimes it takes a second, right?
Sometimes we have to learn those lessons over and over and over again before we get a pass.
It was about a year for me to be like, oh, wait, maybe I should go to God instead of this bottle I've been drinking out every single night, you know. But yeah, no, I think that's completely normal, I guess, is what I'm getting at, is to throw yourself into work. Yeah. So what happened after that?
It's been great. I mean, any small business, you're worried sometimes about the economy. You want to be sure you keep your people happy. Sometimes I think, oh, I've got a lot of eggs in this one big basket. I might like to have a lot of smaller baskets.
Yeah, but somebody said just don't drop the basket. Carry one egg and don't really protect that egg. And I, you know, you can't have all your eggs in one basket. Who's right?
Both are right.
Both, yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with. I love that.
I think, you know, I think just from a business perspective, and we're just, I know, kind of getting off topic here, but, you know, I do know when I've sold some businesses and some of the larger companies come in there, they always, the rule of thumb is you don't want one customer to make up 10% of your business. The reality is, small business, most of the time, one customer made up 80% of your business at one time. Right?
For sure.
And then you had to grow from there and pivot from there. But, you know, for all you entrepreneurs listening to out there, look, early on and even forever sometimes, it's all right. You know, you can make a lot of money, you know, with one customer being 80% if you really, you know, integrate yourself into their processes.
Right. And you can never lose the vision, the purpose for the business. That's always paramount. We're sitting here talking to the listener about, because you're giving us these thoughts to us that we really harp on this a lot. We have these recurring themes, but...
How does that work with you?
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Tom Glue. He is the captain that I sail with a lot. And Tom says, incidentally, he's got an amazing daughter, and she is a president of multiple Fortune 500 companies. She was actually an undercover boss.
Oh, wow.
So,
cool.
You know,
very cool.
Advice from Tom Glue was pretty spot on. He says, have a plan A and always have a plan B. Mm-hmm. So with my primary customer, who is a huge portion of my business, mm-hmm. I still have other smaller customers that I still am always working contracts with and smaller service. So, you know, please, Lord, don't let it happen. But if this should tank, I'm going here, here, and here,
mm-hmm.
like, immediately.
You have to.
Yeah.
So, well, everybody has a plan A until they get punched in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Have your plan B. Know what your plan B is and kind of, you know, work the plan B.
So how long have you been in business?
ICTI has been in business since 2004.
So 20 years.
I'm only like 30. So these numbers aren't going to work.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. So
we're getting better. We started out at 40. We're down to 30.
She's about to be 24.
I'm about to be 24. You're 22.
Getting younger with age, for sure.
Yeah. And my ex and I incorporated for the first time in 98.
Okay.
So to
say you have a little experience would be an understatement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't fail in that first, what, small businesses are supposed to fail?
3 years.
First 3 years.
Two to 3 years.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think over 50%, you know, won't even be around in 3 years after they're incorporated. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a win. That's a huge win.
We have a
business that, I mean, virtually spanned two decades. I mean, that's awesome. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah. So we have similar backgrounds. I was on the higher voltage side, but did the low voltage as well, instrumentation, oil and gas stuff. And so field service is hard.
Field service is hard.
It's an understatement. If you HVAC, welders, plumbers, electrical. I mean, it's just, you have to go to the other place, do it right.
It's not necessarily a clean or pretty job.
No.
That's the thing. You've got a hard hat, got a steel toe boots. It's not a pretty job.
You get better. It is difficult. And so one of the things that came out talking with Saria about the tattoo business and hers is it harder, or do you feel like you have to compensate because you are a woman?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
It's a good question, and I'm very conscious of it because I work a lot of construction sites. And I never went to coffee with the boys, never went for beer after with my generals. I never wanted to have the drug rep reputation. I wanted us to be called because we were good at what we were going to do it. We were going to make the timeline, not because I showed up with shirt tooth cut too deep or my hair down and rolled.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up with my steel toe boots on and my hard hat and
just
went to work.
Did the work.
Yeah. And just like the guys. And I think I told you this when we first got on the island, because you were courteous and you grabbed my suitcase and I didn't know what to do.
Yes.
I grabbed my own suitcase because, on the job, I always try to be careful to, you know, I pull my weight. Yes, I am the boss, but I'm going to pull my own weight. I'm going to carry my own ladder. I'm going to carry my own tools. If somebody's going to go to the roof, I'm going to be the first person with their foot on the rung.
Right.
Because I want everybody on my team to know that I'm not going to ask them to do anything that I'm not going to go out and do.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you felt like you needed to earn everybody's respect because some other women have it. They're right. Come before you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would... Okay, so similar experience.
Not dissing drug reps. They're usually beautiful. My best friend sold drugs, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Garrett Baker did, too.
Yeah. we cover a lot. Legal, illegal. We cover a lot of bases. He's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not.
One of the things that I experienced was, in my line of work, it was like going back to, you know, the oil field, kickbacks, the dinners, the whatever, hunting trips, whatever. You could buy work. Mm-hmm. And I had a mentor that told me, he said, well, if you can buy them, somebody else can buy them for a dollar more.
Absolutely.
And so don't chase that because they won't stick with you. And you're saying the same thing. You know, you kept your collar, your top button buttoned.
At the risk of offending the men that are sitting on each side of me and all the men that might be listening, I called it the old boys club. And I'm not a member.
Well, it's real. I mean, it's a reality. Yeah.
I made my way without it. Maybe I could have made more money within it. But I wasn't willing to compromise who I was.
I don't have any regret for the 20 years I spent not chasing those customers.
You know what's funny? So just as humans in general, like I remember I got into the OtMed business and I was young. And I remember having a meeting when I wasn't an owner yet, but I was a manager. And I was asking questions about what was going on. It was actually a safety council rep that was talking about he was trying to uniform drug screens, and I was like, well, why does that make sense for us? And asking him some very pointed, why does that make sense for the contractors out there? It sounds like you're trying to create a monopoly. And you know, this is 20 years ago, like literally. And the guy looked at me and he was like, son, how old are you? And I want to say, I say 20 years ago, maybe 16 years ago. And I was like, I'm 30. Son, I've been doing, you know, industrial medicine. I've been in an industrial field longer than you've been alive, you know, at the time. And, if anybody wants to PM me, I'll tell you exactly who it was.
Right.
He didn't say son. He said sport. Hey there,
sport. Oh, sport. That's a great
one. Hey there, sport. I've been doing industrial medicine longer than you've been alive. So, why don't you let the grown-ups talk or something of that nature? And, bro, 30-year-old Brian was hot, but I was in a meeting that there was older people and more experienced people. Our owners were in there. And the previous owners of BHP, which is my main company that I own now, he used to call me sport all the time to rib me, right? You know, whenever he knew that I was fired up about something, he'd be like, whatever, sport. And I'd be like, oh, you know, that gets me. But I say that story to say that was one small story in my lifetime that I felt, you know, as a man, they say women want love, men want respect. But, you know, men want love and women want respect too, right? You know, it's not just unilaterally one way or the other. I don't know what it's like to be a woman and not carry a certain amount of respect. Like I come in and clean restrooms and I come in and try to gain respect when I come into a new business or situation. But I don't know what it's like to have an innate disadvantage that a woman has. Talk to us about I don't know. I mean, tell my audience, because it actually seems like our audience, from what the analytics say, are more female than male.
35 to 45-year-old demographic is 2% more female than male.
Which I find, awesome, but very surprising, right?
And it's not due to the three people that listen to it being our wives, because my wife hasn't listened to one yet.
You didn't have to write.
I thought it was my hair.
My intrusive thoughts that didn't come out earlier was when you were being called sport and you were younger, is that when you decided that you should have fantastic hair and really, really start putting effort into that?
Actually, we're gonna put a photo of when my son was first born. And I have you have the photo with your wife with the still has the gown on. Yeah. And I've got the Jim Carrey Dumber Dumber haircut. It's about the same time frame that I got called sport. I look so ridiculous. I would have called me sport. Oh, it's fair. But anyway, I was asking a question to Tabitha. Talk to me about, being a woman in a man's world and a leader in business, in a quote unquote man's world.
Well, it's a tech field, so it's heavy construction, and it is majority men. There are more women now than there were when I started, and a lot of my teams are women teams, are female teams.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a lot of ladies out there doing really great work. In fact, more than the men, actually. But
I find that women are better workers than men.
Okay.
I will get down there, but
can get there in a minute. Yeah. Because there's something that I really see there. Used to be when I called in to tech support, I never got a female tech support. And then I would get a little, depending on who answered, I'd get a little bit of condensing, that'd be the wrong word, a little attitude.
Condescending.
With, a little yeah. condescending yeah. attitude. Well, look on page 20 of the manual. And one time I said, sorry, I wrote that manual. You're going to need to do better than that. Because I'm a little mouthy, you know.
I haven't noticed.
Y'all hadn't noticed. Okay. And the most recent I had was at it was a big brokerage firm. And I'd been called in to work with their Microsoft Teams group and their Cisco stuff. And, I mean, again, I said it's not pretty work. It's just it's a work shirt and jeans. And then I'm noticing their secretaries are really beautiful women and they're dressed in short skirts and, you know, things. And these guys they're my points of contact. And the ladies are hustling and they're careful not to disturb them. And I'm like, where's the hot guy in the European cut suit? That's what I'm missing, seeing.
Where's Pablo, dang it?
And during the conference, they talked over me a couple of times. And it pissed me off. And I'm me. And you know what? I can leave you with all your stuff not working. That's who I am. So I just said, I raised my finger and I said, quiet. I'll update you in just a minute, but you'll need to be quiet. And it was just a little bitchy on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bitchy pushback. Yeah. They pissed me off.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it wasn't bad.
And this was like a potential client?
No, this was a client.
This was a client. And you just, hey.
Well, corporate doesn't hire me. They don't hire me. Their corporate hires me. And they were being rude.
I got you.
You know, I don't know. They were being rude. And ugly.
Did they treat you differently throughout the rest of the meeting?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They just needed to back down a little bit. Or maybe pay attention. Maybe they just weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen a whole lot, but sometimes it will happen.
I think sometimes you need to get their attention, right?
Yeah, every once in a while. For the most part, you see a lot more women today, and I will every once in a while get a female support, and that's usually a cool conversation. It's like, oh my God, it's a female tech. I love when I get a female tech. You want me to segue into why we're
yes
different techs than men?
I was going to do it if you didn't.
Men, you can give them a project, and they will take down a wall to get that one project done. They can focus on the job.
Agreed.
And they have the strength. Clearly, they have the strength that we don't have, right? Women can multitask a job. They can handle a tech
yep.
call coming in. They can take their notes. They do a much better job with their notes and paperwork, general mm-hmm. Statement. And they can also plan the next job, and they can talk to their kids. And a guy is going to
melt
down. All that at him, and he's going to melt on it. Yeah.
No, I can't agree with you more. You're spot on. I'm the same way. I complain about it all the time. I'm like, gosh, dang it. I'm so frustrated right now because I've got 6 projects going on at the same time, and I'm struggling to juggle them. And I find I like to think that I'm a professional. I'm an experienced entrepreneur, and I should be better than that. In reality, I'm not. You know, I have to staff my weakness around me. And guess what I employ? You know,
women.
80% female.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find that they complement my strengths much better than men complement my strength in general. And they tend to be better workers, harder workers. They tend to be more loyal than men. They tend to be, I mean, just their work ethics better than my male workers on average. Now, my elite workers, I've got some elite male workers that work for me. But most of my management is females.
Female. Yeah.
Almost.
They can tackle more things simultaneously than a man does.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's can. I don't know if that's a natural trait.
So some fun history, because I'm just sitting over here going, let me give you a history lesson on that, like old boring encyclopedia.
Yeah, tell me.
Correct us, fact checkers, but the story is that the word multitasking didn't exist before the first computer was built because humans don't possess the ability to multitask. So when the first computer came out, the selling point by Big Blue at IBM is that it could do multiple tasks at one time. And that's when the word, it wasn't a word before that, but that was a man's world, right?
That was a man's world. Yeah, you're right.
I love that we're getting the chance to have this conversation because I do agree that women have an ability, not an absolute, so, you know.
No, of course, there's men that can multitask. The and the, yeah, but, there's exceptions. No, we're talking about generalities.
In our experience, yeah. So you can do those things. Yeah, you can drop the kid off. You can pick the kid up. You can have dinner ready. Work the job. And we're over here like,
I worked the job today.
And of course, my wife thinks it's wonderful when we're trying to get ready for progress or people to come over. We've got an event coming and we're trying to get the dishes clean and the house clean. And I'm like, let me take the trash out. And I take the trash out and I see the yard hasn't been mowed. So I'll start mowing the yard and I get halfway through mowing the yard and I notice that there's a couple boards on the fence that are popping loose. So I'll start fixing the fence. And 8 hours later, I'll come back in and go,
she's like, you took the trash out, she's right?
Like, you get trash taken out? She's like, where have you been? I did all the work in the house. And it's just, she just does a really good job about doing multiple things. And they all kind of wrap up where I do a poor job of it. It's my experience. So I'm, yeah, and I,
just
I,
one that yeah. runs to the next, to the next. Well, I mean, there place, there's a certain place for both. And it's just figuring out how to work together and then use your people with their strengths or let them show their strengths, you know, give them the ability to.
Yeah, so what's your give us the key to success in your business for you, you know? I mean, what's something that I know we're all trying to be humble, but give me, you know, what makes your company special? What, you know, what break have you gotten? What hustle have you done that really, you know, differentiates what you do?
You know, if I say that I've been blessed, and I say that so often, it seems trite, or it maybe doesn't seem like enough, or it just seems like a pat answer. But I have been just a blessed person throughout my life. Not that I haven't faced things, not that there haven't been trials. I've been blessed. I work hard. Mm-hmm. I try to give people opportunity. There are quite a few people that are working for me that are working with me, I'd rather say, that can really get hired at some other places because they, I have this young lady working for me and she is fantastic. She has blown it out of the water. Last month she made $8,000 and she said she never ever in her life dreamed without some sort of college education or vo-tech or something like that, that she'd be able to make that kind of money.
Awesome.
And when I had seen her at church and I knew she was learning, getting a CDL driver's license. And I talked to her, I liked her. I knew she was waitressing at Waffle House. I was like, Hey, how's it going? And then I skipped church because I was traveling or who knows what, maybe working. And then I went back in and I asked her and she said, well, I had a job interview here. And they got to the background check and I hadn't heard from them. And I had a job interview here and they said they'd hire me. But I did a background check and she looked at me and she goes, well, I mean, I have a background. You know, I'm doing great. I've made all these steps to change my life and move forward, but I'm having a little trouble moving forward. And I was like, see if you want to work for me. Because I want you to take pride in your job. I want you to try to grow personally. And if you want that, I feel like God blessed me with the opportunity, and I share it. And I try to do business right. I try not to screw anybody over or mm-hmm. act stupid or because I do believe what you put out there is coming back at you. And that's kind of, that's how I live, and that's how I work.
So how rewarding is it to be able to give somebody a chance? Somebody else
it's
might.
Really cool,
especially like hearing your story about being there and like, hey, the men never took me seriously, I had to prove myself, and then you get the opportunity to take another, you know, woman at arms, if you will, or another woman, and just speak life into them and give them an opportunity that somebody else wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then see them make money and
grow,
just
and blow it out of the
talk
water
to us
yeah.
about it. Yeah.
So you said Waffle House.
She was
waitress
yeah, she,
to $8,000 in a month.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume that that
all she needed was an opportunity.
Yeah.
All she needed was an opportunity. And I went out with her, you know, several times in that first month. I sent her out with my other tech so she could learn what was going on. And then I support them. That's kind of my job throughout the day. And that's like when I met you guys. I was
you
like,
just give her the money. She worked. She earned the money.
That girl's out there hustling. Yeah, she works. She takes care of her job. She does great notes. She's personable with the customer. They love her. We get invited back. She helps them with their request, get through corporate and get another work ticket illustrated. If she had the confidence in herself, she'd be one of the employees that could go into business against me eventually.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, you bring up those employees and you want to do business with them.
Yeah.
You want to make the opportunity and the environment so good that she doesn't want to compete with you. She wants to blow it up with you.
Yeah.
Not against you, right?
She's really happy, and that makes me really happy.
What did you see in her? Like, so this is something that talent recognition, finding talent. We talked about this in the last podcast. We've talked about it in a lot of our podcasts.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge for every service company in the world. I don't care what field you're in. So identifying talent, nurturing and mentoring that talent is often a key to success. And it seems like it's been that way for you.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see in this individual and maybe some other individuals that you not that you ever know, because sometimes you think they're going to be
sometimes
a rock star.
Sometimes you think it's going to be good. And they're going to be,
yeah. But tell me what you look for. What did you see in her? What do you look for in general?
She was bright. She was a bright smile, bright personality.
So positive.
She's positive.
Okay.
She was consistent. She was at church every time I showed up, and I was the one that wasn't consistent.
So she loved Jesus.
She loved Jesus.
Love Jesus and consistent.
So a running theme on this podcast. Right? If you love Jesus, you might cuss a little. It seems to be
Jesus, I might cuss a little, yeah.
That is a running theme on this podcast.
And she's hungry. She wanted an opportunity. Hungry. She was seeking opportunity. She just wasn't getting them. And I'm like, if you're going to go work at Dollar General and been busting it at Waffle House, especially in New Orleans where you can die, and if we ever want them for a sponsorship, I'm really sorry. I might have just blown that
Waffle
for you.
House?
Yeah. Just in New Orleans. Everywhere
just
else.
Just in New Orleans.
Waffle House, Waffle House.
Dude, I love Waffle House.
I do too, actually, but,
I'm
you
a
know.
Big Waffle House.
Right? It's around the clock.
I got some great Waffle House stories.
Right? So, you know, I felt like she was going to be a hard worker, and she was hungry. She wanted an opportunity and was trying to get an opportunity, but wasn't getting one. I mean, she'd just been to Votech to learn how to drive a truck, for crying out loud.
She was trying.
And she wasn't scared to jump into a man's world to get it done.
She wasn't scared to jump into a man's
world. She's about
to go
drive trucks.
Yeah.
And we keep calling it a man's world, but the reality is it's not.
It's tech. It's not really. We're outnumbered a little bit, but
I'm in a woman's world. I'm in the medical field. I am, a male nurse. But I find that men and women dominated fields aren't treated the same. And this may be a completely different subject. When men go into women dominated fields, we don't get the hate. Like, let me just say this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, and I'm sorry, I'm not. My intent is not to...
That's our happy place now. We just live in trouble.
My thing is just to tell you my experience. This might not be the truth. I'm just telling you my experience is, in the medical field, being a male registered nurse, is they tend to actually befriend me and be kind to me, give me the benefit of the doubt, and hate on one another. It drives me insane as a man who sees this in the field, and I'm, I like Cindy, and I like Sharon, and I like, Tom, and I like, Charmaine over here. I like them all, but Charmaine hates Sharon, and who also hates Sally, and I'm like, women are the harshest critics of women. Like, you can
we
say.
We are.
Oh, my gosh, it's insanity.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand
it. Petty, but
I don't know why women are like that. Y'all should love each other.
Give them more work.
No. That's for men too. That's for men too.
Don't let them organize. We'll lose our control.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Hey, y'all love each other. That's all I'm saying is women, man. Because I find that I've been able to give opportunities to female employees, some of which don't have college degrees.
Huh?
Most of my managers, are not, they're not, master's degree people. And I've got some fantastic women that work for me. It's what makes our company grow. And I've been able to give them opportunity. But not only that, I've been able to speak. I find that the biggest hindrance of a woman becoming a phenomenal leader is the confidence. You have an innate confidence about you, right? Not that you don't have a softness, because you do. And I've only met you for a few days now. But I've seen that you have that innate confidence. I find with my female managers, if I put them in that spot and I speak life into them and I let them know, hey, I see this in you.
Uh-huh.
I see that you're intelligent. I'm like, you got snap to you. You're a hard worker. You're phenomenal. You're going to do a great job. Now, I find that I have to rein them in against a little bit of discipline on some of the employees. Sometimes like, hey, let's show them some grace. But if they're confident with the customers, they're high performers, very high performers. They just needed the opportunity, somebody to put them in the opportunity, and someone to speak some freaking life into them.
You can do this.
Find it in your business?
Yeah, because sometimes I say our jobs are the scavenger hunt, and especially the service tickets that come from like the big box stores.
Right.
By the time the store calls it in to corporate, and corporate sends it up to change to the national that we work for, and then the national sends it back down to us, it cannot be... What's on the ticket cannot be what we go do.
So you have to interpret it.
So we have to interpret it, and then we have to figure it out, and then we have to work through it. And a lot of my job right now is just taking the calls for the techs when they call back in that it's not what they thought it was going to be, and maybe they've done it before, maybe they hadn't, for me to say, just take a minute, go to the car, go get a soda.
Right. What's our purpose for being here?
Yeah, just take a breath and dial it back. This is not rocket science. Absolutely something that you've got before. And sometimes I'll think like, oh, remember when we were over here and we did that? Mm-hmm. That's what this is. Okay, you got this. And call me if you need me or FaceTime me if you need me. But, you can do this.
So you've overcome a lot of struggles. You've learned a lot, obviously. And what you're speaking about is familiar. It's common to business practices. But I also know you from another perspective, a little bit of a personal background. And you have a relationship with God. And you have faith. What can you tell us about how that interacts? Because this is one of the questions we're trying to answer, right? The separation of church and state. Well, you can call it what you want it, but when you're in business, you know, I didn't do business alone. God was integral to my life. How have those two things overlapped, affected? What's your
positive in there?
What's your faith input into this?
We'll be passing a plate at the end of this little podcast. Remember the story where they're in the boat, and I love the stories in the boat because I'm a sailor. They're in the boat. Jesus is sleeping. The storm comes up. And actually, one of my ladies that works with me gave me this while we were in Idaho because I had a whole bunch to manage, and we were trying to cover the state of Idaho with three teams, and it was getting a little lot. But so she tells me this. They're in the boat. Jesus is asleep. The storm comes up. They're all freaking out. They wake Jesus. He speaks to the storm, calms the storm, and they were afraid.
Right? He didn't calm the people. He didn't speak to the people.
They didn't know who they were in the boat with. They're supposed to know who they're in the boat with.
Right.
They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him feed the fishes. I don't know in the timeline necessarily, but they've been seeing his miracles, but he still scared them to death. Because he calm, he spoke, and he calm, right? So I say a lot. I forget who I'm in the boat with, but he's in the boat, man.
And you said earlier you've been blessed unrecognizably and improportional.
Yeah,
if that's even the right word. Somebody edit how I said that. I'm sure I spelled it wrong. But
I've been blessed beyond expectations.
For sure, and maybe it's because you know who you're in the boat with.
Yeah,
or at least you're in the boat with.
At least I'm in the boat. Yeah. So that's what I say. I don't know who I'm in the boat with. Sometimes I forget who I'm in the boat with.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think about the 12 disciples, and I'm like, they walked with the living God, and it comforts me that they were that stupid and short-sighted.
All the time, right?
I'm like, you just saw this dude heal a blind man. I've never seen Jesus heal a blind man. Now, have I seen healing on earth? Of course. So, don't get me wrong, but I didn't walk with the living God. And if I was in a sailboat with him and the storm was up, I'd be like, cool, let's just do the best we can because we got Jesus downstairs,
we got Jesus
bro.
Downstairs.
I'm like, literally, we good. We good, bro.
Start taking notes.
I know,
right?
I feel like we would know who we were in the boat with, but they didn't. And that's a great point is... it's funny how as humans we're so short-sighted. Is God, remember who you're in the boat with every once in a while. I have to do it myself. We talked about that not too long ago, Sean. That exact story has come up.
Love it.
Yeah.
Has it come up?
I
got a quick funny for you too. When COVID came down, we worked a lot because the pharmacy needed all the pill counters working. We needed all the self-checks popping. So we were busy.
I bet during COVID, we were
super busy. Every day was actually a great time for us. And I had, this is one of those grace of God things. I really had no idea what I was doing when I did it. I shifted from sales to service for the company. I had made that shift not quite a year before COVID hit. And if I hadn't, I might would have gone upside down in COVID, but I had shifted to a service-based industry, and I can't tell you I'm some sort of genius that saw the future. I just had the opportunity, and we took it, and it was perfect for the timing. But I think I had done 3 or 4 service tickets because I was out running service at the time too, and my mother-in-law called me. And she said, well, I just want to check on you because of COVID. And I said, well, I'm coming in from the Gulf Coast. And, I think I got one more ticket before I can call it a night. And she goes, Tabitha, you're working during this? And I said, yeah, I think I had like 5 tickets today. And she goes, oh, I didn't think you'd be working. And I said, see, I said, my mom and dad are not the type that you can call and ask for money. I said, my mom has prayed a hedge of protection about me. I'm good. And I later told my daddy about it. And he said, she prayed you all the way out in the wilderness to not call my mama for money. Go to work.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
You all the way out in the wilderness.
Well, you got to work, and there was a lot of that during COVID. And we did a whole podcast about it. I think it boils down to an attitude, and yeah, faith's got a lot to do with it. What are you going to do when a crisis hits? You got a choice. So we had a little storm go through this week, right?
Yeah.
And it's the first time in 20 plus years that it wasn't my job to collect material ahead of the storm, because this was an opportunity to get ahead, because it's going to rip up some electrical meter services to houses, and generators are going to get broke because they're getting stressed. And it wasn't a harvest season.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't know what to do. I was like, well,
what do you do?
I just walk around in circles in the yard. There's nothing to do for me. But there's always an opportunity in a tragedy, or in a hard time, or whatever it is. There's always an opportunity there. We just have to open our eyes and trust that we're going to find it. And it does take some faith.
Yeah.
And but you also have to show up to the party. You can't bury your head in the sand and go, Lord, please help me, and then go sit on your couch and turn Netflix on.
Yeah, that's what experience helps with, for sure.
Yeah, experience does.
Tabitha, before we close this up, I mean, I love your story.
Are we praying?
We can. Oh, don't tempt me.
Don't push on.
I'll hold hands and pray in a heartbeat. We'll do it right now.
Amen.
And we might close it out like that. We'll have to wait and see. But I just want to give you an opportunity, because of just being a female entrepreneur who's had to overcome so much, who's had to remember who she's in the boat with at times, who's had a business that has made it through a divorce, which is tough for anyone, and really just kept after it, had the tenacity, if you will, been able to have the opportunities to put other women in a position to succeed and to grow in their self-confidence and their professionalism, and just being able to watch that and have the rewards of it. Give us some tidbits to other women entrepreneurs out there, because there's a unique set of anxieties. There's anxieties for everybody, but there's a unique set that I don't understand. So speak to my female entrepreneurs out there, that, or ones that just may be thinking about do it. Give them some positive, give them some negative, give them some wisdom, you know, right now. Just speak life into them.
Not to put me on the spot, and not to have my feminism agenda come out. You can do it. That's the thing. If you're thinking of it, if you're dreaming of it, and you don't think you can do it. You may not be giving yourself a lot of credit. You probably have kids. You're probably running a household. You probably have made things happen when you didn't have money in the bank and wasn't sure how it was all going to shake out. You figured it out. I know some amazing women out there that have been mother and father. So many times I've watched them. You can do it. And I really don't think there isn't anything that women can't do. Not to hurt y'all's feelings, but I am not really sure how men ever got to rule the world. I think we set y'all up. I am pretty sure we set you up to do it, support you so you look really good, and then y'all just kept all the credit. Y'all got to say thank y'all.
Well, Bron and I are out of time, right?
Wait. We can reach the top shelf.
Yeah.
Y'all can reach the top shelf.
Yeah, Bron and I both have spent a lot of time bragging on our wives.
Yeah.
Leaning on that relationship. Is somebody staring at me right now? I feel like my wife is staring at me right now.
No, she's not. She's listening.
No, I don't want to brag her too much. But no, we couldn't have done it alone.
Yeah.